Well, a South African-run asset management company that you've probably never heard of is shooting the lights out in the UK. It's called Quilter. It used to be called Old Mutual Wealth Management, spun off by Old Mutual in 2016. The CFO, Mark Satchell, a South African, joins us now. Your trading statement today, Mark, emphasizes how much progress you guys have made. And it was really interesting to see you've brought out your third quarter numbers, assets under management. 91, which is extremely well known in South Africa, brought out its numbers. And there's not a heck of a lot difference between the size of Quilter and the size of 91. They're at £127 billion, you're at £116 billion. And yet, I guess you are listed, secondary listed on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, listed in London, part of the FTSE 250. Not that well known in South Africa. Why do you think that is?
Well, Alec, thanks very much for having me on the show first. I think it's probably predominantly in that we have very few South African-based clients. Our market is very much focused on the UK retail advised market. So virtually all of our clients are UK-based retail investors and people looking after their pensions, and not so much in South Africa, obviously. So, you know, our listing in South Africa is a bit of a legacy of the unbundling from Old Mutual, although we very much enjoy having a good and very supportive South African shareholder base. But we're not really sort of out in the mainstream day-to-day market, which I presume is probably why, and our name changes along the way probably haven't helped either. But that's probably why the name is not a sort of a household recognizable name in South Africa like 91 perhaps is.
Would you be allowed at some point in time to come back into South Africa, given that you were part of the old mutual grouping? And after the unbundling in 2016, were there barriers placed there to stop you guys from coming here?
We have had some agreements in place. There's a timing associated with them, so they will run out at some point. But our strategy has very much been to focus on the UK domestic market. We used to have, and you might recall, in the 2010s, we had quite a lot of businesses scattered around continental Europe, some in South America. And we went about actually disposing of most of those to focus on the UK wealth management market. It is one of the largest wealth management markets in the world. And our actual products and offerings and our proposition is very much geared towards the regulation around UK investors looking after their pensions, ensuring that the various aspects of the pension regulation in the UK are adhered to. And that's what our product and proposition is focused on. And what we have found historically is that when you cross borders, you get actually quite big differences in that, which requires a lot of, you know, back office re-engineering of systems and applications and things like that. So our strategy was actually one of sort of shrinking down to the UK market, which is as I said, a big market. And that's where our focus has been.
Yeah, the history. Scandia, I recall that so well. And the issues that Old Mutual went through were quite challenging. But today, you guys seem to be really hitting your straps. Well, first of all, you and Stephen Levine, the CEO, are both South Africans. But secondly, the inflows over the last three quarters have been growing, and they're serious numbers. What have you been doing differently to give you this boost?
Well, I think, look, we've been very pleased with the progress that the business has been making. You'll recall that we went through a very long platform or a replatforming of our business a few years ago now. We said at the time that was going to position us really, really well in the UK market. And that does take a bit of time once that's been implemented in order to get that traction. And that's what we see now. So we're very pleased with the market share that we've been gaining. And I think that is testament to the technology we've now deployed, to our overall proposition, to our distribution teams. And we're getting a lot of support from the independent financial advisor market, as well as from our own internal distribution channels. So it's been part of a long planned strategy. And I think we're starting to benefit from that. We've had a turnaround, I think, in investor sentiment over the last little while. Inflation seems like it's coming back under a lot better control. The interest rate environment is settling down. There's a combination of things that I think have all pointed and all been very good for our business. And we've said for a while that we believe we have got the best platform in the UK market now since we went through the technology upgrade. And I think you're starting to see that coming through now with advisors voting with their feet by recommending our platform to their clients for use. And, that's part of a bigger picture strategy that's been playing out for a while now.
Just explain that, because if the independent financial advisors, if I read the trading statement correctly, increased their support by 75% year on year, that's a game changer.
You know, in the UK market, there are quite a lot of platforms that operate. We're not alone in that space, that's for sure. But we've been gaining, we're now the largest platform in the retail advice space in the UK market by both assets as well as gross and net flows. So we're pleased with the progress that we've been making there. If you had to wind the clock back 2-3 years ago, we certainly weren't in that sort of space. But we are, advisors, we're gaining market share, and a lot of the market share we're gaining is of existing assets that are already in existence in the marketplace. And it's advisors moving their clients from other platforms onto our platform that is quite a large catalyst around that. So, that's always a pleasing place to be, and that's where we're winning at the moment.
Why would they be moving? What is it that you're offering, apart from, I presume, better tech, that is appealing to them?
So we've got a much broader proposition now than what we had before we did the tech upgrade. You know, the original, you referenced Scandia earlier on, that was probably the trailblazer, a good sort of 30, 40 years ago in the UK market when it came to that sort of technology. And over the years, new entrants had come in and put in better technology themselves. And so we sort of found ourselves 6 or 7 years ago actually realizing that our technology at that stage was relatively outdated in comparison to others, which is why we embarked on the program to replatform our business. And with that, we set about making sure that we have got the best tech, or the most, certainly the most modern tech in the space at the moment. But we've also always had really good client and advisor servicing. Our proposition is a very full proposition, so advisors have a great deal of choice, which can then meet their clients' needs, and particularly if some clients have some more sort of esoteric requirements. And we also invest a lot in our in the tools, the report writing, the kind of stuff that make advisors look good in front of their clients. So it enables them to manage their clients' portfolios very effectively.
When you say platform, does that mean that if I have a financial advisor in the UK and he's looking after my money, he can put it into Quilter and then choose gold, platinum, Goldman Sachs, whoever, from a list of options? Is that what you mean when you say platform?
Yeah. So the platform does two things predominantly. One, it provides the tax wrapper. So whether it's a pension, or in the UK, we've got ISAs, individual savings accounts, and those sort of things that all sort of tax enhanced or tax beneficial products or propositions that help clients save for their retirement. So you've got the propositions, and then within that, clients will typically be invested in a portfolio of mutual funds, or in South Africa, I think you'd call mutual funds. So, and we've got thousands of mutual funds on the platform that the advisor can then go into, and depending on the client's risk profile and investment objectives and aspirations, et cetera, they can then select from. So advisors these days would not typically go into individual stocks and shares for clients. It would pretty much all be mutual funds, but they can go into ETFs, they can do other things like that. And that's all facilitated through the platform. And most advisors, most independent financial advisors in the UK market will use more than one platform for their clients. They'll only use probably one platform per client, but if they've got 130 clients, they might have 80 on one platform and 60 on another one, or whatever, depending on which platform they think sort of meets those their clients' objectives and needs the best, and which one provides the best service offering to them, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, advisors, the independent financial advisors can pick and choose which platform they do use. Every day, and we're out there competing against the other platforms in that space, and you know that's where we were doing particularly well since we've got the new technology in, and you know, got a very full, rich proposition for advisors and their clients.
You've invested heavily in tech. You've got the tech right. You are now bringing in more assets onto the platform under your umbrella. How much runway do you have there, given that you went from 900 million net inflow in the second quarter to, well, not far from doubling that in the third quarter? That kind of exponential growth, is it likely to continue?
So, Alec, I think a lot of that's going to depend on the broader macro environment and client sentiment. Within the advisor space, in the retail advisor space that we operate in, there's about £80 billion of gross inflows, or we're gearing up for about an £80 billion gross inflow year. So that's on a gross basis rather than on a net basis. What we have seen, and it's been a trend that's been going on for a good number of years now, is that client portfolios generally now will have a higher weighting towards passives and index trackers and things like that than what they maybe did, than certainly what they did have 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So I think that is a bit of a, that has been a trend. I think it's probably a trend that'll continue to some extent. And a lot of that is driven by advisors seeking to reduce the sort of the total cost of ownership for their underlying clients. And, you know, one of the areas where they're looking at there is if they reduce the active management component of the of a client's portfolio, they're going to probably be also reducing the cost to the client of that portfolio, because passive funds cost a lot less than actively managed funds do. And on the same sort of risk weighting, they can probably generate similar sort of returns for the client from that. So that's a trend that's been going on for a while now. We anticipate that trend will continue. That's part of what's been helping, but it's not the overall story. I mean, it's, you know, the underlying client investments for us is of probably less consequence and what they're going into than just providing a full offering, given all the different options that clients and advisors have when they use our platform.
Well, it's a South African-driven company that's, and certainly a South African-heritaged company that's doing very well in the UK. But the name Quilter, where does that come from?
So that comes from the discretionary investment management business that we have within the portfolio, which is called Quilter Cheviot. It was a business that we acquired, you cast my mind back now, around about 2013-14 sort of time. So when we separated out of Old Mutual, part of that agreement was not to be trading under the same name, obviously, as Old Mutual. Old Mutual being such a household name and as well known as what it is in South Africa, they obviously got the dibs on that one rather than us retaining Old Mutual. We looked at sort of rebranding to a new name, but actually figured out if we've got a perfectly sensible name within the group to brand to, which was called Cheviot, which has been in existence in the UK for hundreds of years. It's got a great heritage and pedigree behind it. We went along with Quilter. I think originally, Alec, it was probably someone's surname, but we are going back many, many generations in history on that.
And I guess when one just has a look ahead and from where you're coming from, with a splitting, with an unbundling of a company, and with a big company like Old Mutual, is it split into four, and you guys were given your heads and independence and off you went. Was there a lot of energy that was unleashed there? Because there's, as I mentioned earlier, there had been challenges for Old Mutual as it was, and we've seen Nedbank do very well since it's been given its head. Even the Old Mutual that's left here in South Africa seems to be performing extremely nicely, and I think it's you know, it's one of those things that they study at business schools. But you've been right in it. You've been right in the middle of all of this. Have you seen a difference in Quilter independently managed to Quilter prior to, or the group, the company prior to the unbundling?
But look, Alec, Old Mutual group or parent, when we were still part of that, was a very supportive parent of us. They provided capital for acquisitions that we made, et cetera, et cetera. But I think when you are a UK-based company, and particularly when it comes to incentive arrangements and things like that, you know, at that stage, you know, any kind of, and our employees participate in this on quite a broad range, anything that's so dominated by the performance of a life company in a foreign jurisdiction, as the share price was, I think does just naturally add to impetus and attitude and really sort of maybe sort of feeling more in control. It's a much smaller business, or we are much smaller, Quilter's a much smaller business than the whole Old Mutual group was. So you sort of, I think there is sort of a greater alignment of feeling that you've got sort of control over your own destiny a whole lot. You know, we don't, certainly when it comes to those sort of things, you don't suffer vagaries of exchange rate movements and, you know, all, you know, those sort of aspects. But I think it's, you know, working in a business this size, it makes it, the opportunity for people to feel like the impact that they actually making or their team is making every day is far more tangible than what it is in part of a big group. And that, I think, applies to any company. It's not specific to our particular situation. So, you know, I think that has helped. There's always been a lot of pride in working for the business. And, I mean, there was pride in working for Old Mutual. And I think that sort of retained or and slightly enhanced when you are a smaller business listed in your own right. So, you know, I think there certainly are probably some beneficial aspects of that. But as I said, you know, working as part of Old Mutual, you know, we found them very supportive as a parent too.
But your lived experience means, no doubt, that you're going to be watching Anglo American with its unbundling pretty closely.
Yes, we'll keep an eye on these things. It's interesting how the clock goes round with various companies building up and then deciding to unbundle.
It does indeed. Mark Satchell is the Chief Financial Officer of Quilter. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.